All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to the House of Light Assembly. My name is Pastor D, the lead pastor here at the House of Light Assembly. Tonight, I want to talk about peacemakers. Peacemakers. As you know, this month we have been dealing on the topic or the subject on peace. Why? Because the Lord told me that, you know, with all that is going on in the world, it will not come to an end until we engage Him. Why? Because He is the Prince of Peace. So the theme for the month is Prince of Peace. And we have been doing some expository topics under that heading, Prince of Peace. Tonight we're going to be going into a topic, like I said earlier, titled Peacemakers. Peacemakers. Our anchor text is from Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Very, very powerful scripture. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Wow! What a powerful statement. Blessed are the peacemakers. So that tells me that only peacemakers are entitled to be children of God, and all children of God are peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In this passage, Jesus began to teach on the fundamentals of Christian living. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Very, very powerful teaching of Jesus. In fact, He taught them for 3 days, nonstop. And He expounded to them the mysteries of the kingdom. I encourage you to go back and study that. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was given to us the core of Christianity, as it were. And in verse 9, He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God." So if you want to identify a son of God, a child of God, then look for the peacemakers in their midst. Look for those that are after peace. Look for those who are living peacefully. Those are the genuine children of God. Children of God. I want to break the lesson outline into 3 parts. And I believe the Holy Spirit will help us to cover all of them. The Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Okay, so the first part of it is our purpose. Okay, our purpose as peacemakers. Okay, then the second part I want to break this stitch into is our calling as peacemakers. Now, somebody may be asking, what's the difference? Our purpose and our calling. The purpose is who we are, the calling is what we are sent to do. The purpose is our genetic, our DNA, okay? And the calling is the assignment that God has given to us, okay? So the purpose of living in peace, the assignment to be peacemakers, and by the grace of God, if time permits us, I want to conclude by saying that we shall all be held accountable. We shall all give an account of our purpose and our calling as peacemakers. Amen. Praise God. So let's get started. What is our purpose as peacemakers? We are called to live in peace. We are called to live in peace. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14, the Bible tells us that follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with every man, wherever you meet them, wherever they come from, no matter how long or how short you've known them, no matter how much time you're going to spend with them, the Bible says, live in peace with them. For without this, no one shall see the Lord. So it is possible to live in peace with all men. Yes, which is possible. Oh, some people say, oh my God, I can't live with a man. Oh, I can't live with a woman. You know, I just want to live by myself. Oh no, that's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose. Oh, I can't live with people from Africa. I can't live with a white person. No, that's not God's plan. God wants us to live in peace with all men. So for God to say that, it means it is possible. God is not going to ask you and I to do something that he knows that we don't have the power to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You know, there's no temptation that is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. And in our temptations, he will make a way of escape. Paraphrased. So God knows that it is possible to live in peace with all men. Oh, some people say, I can't live with my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. Oh, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law. Or even their siblings. That's not God's plans. That's not God's agenda. God wants us to live in peace. Live in peace with all men. And you may be wondering, how do I live in peace with all men? How is it possible? How do I transition? How do I go about it? I would show us four ways that we can live in peace with all men. Four ways that we can live in peace with all men. The first way of living in peace with all men, or the first thing to note when you want to live peacefully with all men, is that don't be the source of offense. Yes, it starts with you. Perhaps the reason why you are not able to live with all men may not necessarily be external. It might be internal. Don't be the source of offense. Don't be the troublemaker yourself. Don't be the one that causes strife. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 to 7, the Bible says, you know, you can start reading from verse 3, when Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 6, he said, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. He said, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Woe, that means cursed, be the man through whom offense comes. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine our lives. What is it about us? What is it about our personalities? What is it about our reactions? What is it about our lifestyle that causes discomfort for others? Charity, they say, begins at home. So for you to live in peace with all men, you need to do an X-ray of your life. You need to examine your life and find out, what are the things that I'm doing that is making me an offense? An offense to people around me. An offense to my neighbors. An offense to new friends that I make. Some people are not able to keep friends because they are just offensive. Their jokes are horrible. It's awkward. Their lifestyle is irritating. You know, nobody can stand that, because it's an offense. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 1 says something very powerful there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 1. Verse 11, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11. It says this. It says, and that ye study to be quiet and to mind your own business and to walk with your own hands as we have commanded you. Study to be quiet. That's a hint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Mind your business. Don't be an offender. Don't be an offense to people. And walk with your own hands. Don't rely on people. Don't depend on people. Don't be a pain. Don't be a shadow following after others everywhere they go. Walk with your own hands. Mind your business. Study to be quiet. Don't talk unnecessarily. Don't crack unnecessary jokes. Forget all the sexual innuendos. Those things, and forget the cuss words. Those things don't betray Christian maturity. It doesn't portray emotional intelligence. Study to be quiet. Speak only when you're required to. or when you are asked to. And think before you speak. You know, God gave us two ears and one mouth so that we can think twice that we talk. The ratio is 2-1. You know, before you speak once, make sure you have heard the first time and understood the second time. So make sure you are not the source of offense. That's the first way to live in peace with people. Number two thing is perhaps you have an offender in your life, or you have someone who frequently offends you, or someone who is just offensive. Learn to forgive them. Learn to forgive them. If you can forgive them in your heart, if you practice the law of advanced forgiveness, then your mind will always be at rest. Somebody is asking right now, what is the law of advanced forgiveness? The law of advanced forgiveness is the law that states that no matter what you do or no matter what you will do, I have already forgiven you. Remember, Jesus did that for you and I, paid the price before you and I were born, and forgave us of our sins and washed us, presented the blood of Jesus to wash us clean before we were even formed in our mother's womb. That's advanced forgiveness. So that's the kind of forgiveness you see in a marital relationship, where the husband tells his wife or the wife tells her husband in their mind, and they mean it, that look, no matter what you do or no matter what you will do, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. If you practice that, your mind will always be at rest. If you practice that, it will make it very, very easy for you to live at peace and to dwell in safety, at peace with everyone that may come your way. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 24, Jesus said this. He said, if thou will bring thy gift to the altar, and remember that thy brother has ought against thee, he said, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Let's learn to forgive. Let's learn to give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's learn to accommodate people's weaknesses. Let's learn to pick our battles. Let's learn to choose and pick our reactions. It's very important, very, very crucial. So if you want to live in peace with people, if you want to live with peace with all men, you know, when Jesus said that, it's a big statement. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, he said, follow peace with all men, everybody. People that you agree with, people you don't agree with, just follow peace. Be at peace with them. People whose political views or opinions you don't subscribe to, live in peace with them. People with different personalities, the type A's, the type A+, the type B's, the type C's, whatever the personality types are. You know, the pragmatic, the melancholy, you know, the sanguine. You know, just live in peace with everybody by making sure that you have forgiven them. You have a heart of forgiveness. You have a heart of advanced forgiveness towards fellow brethren. That is number two. Number three way of living at peace with everyone, or living at peace with anyone for that matter, is that don't entertain negative news about them from anybody. Don't share or entertain evil reports from your neighbors or about your neighbors. Oh, there are brethren going around sowing seeds of discomfort. They assume, they come up with conspiracy theories, and they portray people in the light that they are not. And if you allow them to dump that seed of hatred in your heart, you will never be able to live at peace with your brother. Do you know it is possible that people don't like people they don't know? Oh yeah, you see that on social media a lot. People just don't like other people, and they've never met them. They don't know jack about them. That primarily comes from what other people have said about them. So imagine you as a pastor, imagine you as a politician, imagine you as a community leader, imagine you as a businessman, imagine you as an entrepreneur, and you try to live the best life you can and you please people, but there is a publisher somewhere, there is a blogger somewhere, there is a news outlet somewhere, always telling the people bad things about you? Do you know that people that have never heard of your name before, or that have never met you, or don't even know you, they can develop hatred for you as a result of that? So don't allow people taint other people in a bad light before you. Because if they do, as the person tries to move close to you, you resent them. As the person tries to become your friends, you become irritated, you become agitated. Meanwhile, all that you heard about them could be false. Hebrews chapter 5, 13 verse 5. It says, let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let your conversations be without covetousness. Let your conversations be pure. Let your conversations be godly, inspiring, motivational. Don't allow people pull other people down before you. Don't have friends that come and gossip. You know, I read a saying one time. It says that small minds discuss people, average minds discuss events, but great minds discuss ideas. That's how to know your friends. That's how to categorize your friends. When you have somebody who comes to you all the time discussing people, that's a person with a small mind. That is a person with a very low emotional intelligence. And then when it's all about events, what did you do today? What did you do tomorrow? What are you going to do today? That is an average-minded person. But when you have somebody who comes to you with ideas, where you have somebody who calls you and shares ideas with you and gets you intellectually stimulated, gets you warmed up to do good for the society or to help somebody, that's a friend you want to keep. So let your conversations be without covetousness. Let it be without hatred. Don't share or entertain evil reports about your neighbors. About your neighbors. That's the number three way of living at peace with everyone. Finally, number four, how do I live in peace? How do I live at peace with everyone? How do I follow peace with all men? How do I follow peace with all men? Avoid frequent offenders. Yes, you heard me right. I said avoid, not hate. Avoid frequent offenders. When you get a chance, go and study the book of Matthew chapter 18 and get a picture of what Jesus is saying. Let me tell you, there are people that are sent to you just to offend you. Okay? There are messengers of Satan that are sent from the pit of hell just to offend you. You need to discern and learn how to avoid frequent offenders. Matthew chapter 18, let's start from verse 8 and 9. Okay, you know what, before we even do Matthew chapter 18, let's do Romans chapter 16 verse 17. Romans chapter 16 verse 17. Avoid frequent offenders. I didn't say avoid offenders. I said avoid frequent offenders. People that come to you and your mind just changes. Your mood, your attitude just changes. You know, people that just have a way to stir you up or to, they always push the wrong buttons. Avoid frequent offenders. Romans chapter 16 verse 17. Are you ready for this? The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren. It said, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Let me read it again. And you may want to write this down. Romans 16 verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses. Division, offenses amongst you, and avoid them. So there are people that are designed to cause divisions. There are people that are made up, that have been injected from hell with the spirit of causing divisions and offenses, and the Bible says avoid them. No matter how close you are to them, avoid them. That is God's wisdom for you to live at peace with all men. I didn't say hate them, love them, but love them from a distance. Avoid them. Frequent offenders. No matter how close they are. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 9, it says, verse 8, it says, therefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it is better for you to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. That's exactly what Jesus was saying here. Jesus is not saying, cut your physical hands or cut your physical feet. Jesus was saying, no matter who it is, no matter how close to you the offender is, cut them off. Now, that does not apply in marital relationships, okay? I'm not saying cut off your wife or your spouse. If you have issues in your marriage, you've got to work that out. But I'm talking of people that were intentionally sent to cause division in your marriage, in your business, in your academics, in your relationships, in your career. Cut them out. Cut them off. Avoid them. Avoid them. Oh, somebody may tell me, oh, what, Pastor, Jesus said in Matthew chapter, that's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 22, that, you know, Peter was asking Jesus, how many times does my neighbor have to slap me before I forgive them? How many times do I need to forgive? And Jesus said, 70 times, seven times. Let me tell you something. Anyone who is willing to slap you 70 times, seven times, can kill your life. Anyone who can go that far to slap you 70 times, seven times before you can forgive, man, you might be dead before then. So the wisdom here is to avoid those people. Living at peace with all men sometimes involves avoiding frequent offenders. In Matthew chapter, say Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, Jesus said that if you're having issues with someone, try to make it up with them. But if they do not agree, verse 17, and if he shall neglect or hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. By the way, Jesus was not talking about the Republican Party, okay? I love the Republican Party. I love the Democratic Party. I love the Independent Party. I love all the parties. I belong to all of them. Amen. But Jesus is saying here that, look, if you have tried to correct this person, if you have tried to put them back online, if you have tried to make things up with them and it's not working, that most likely is a person sent to upset you. Avoid them. Cut them off. Cut them off. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus noticed a spirit in Peter that was sent to upset, offend, and make Jesus sin. And immediately Jesus picked it up and said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Jesus picked it up real quick. And this was Peter with all the boldness. Peter has been with Jesus for a while. But Jesus realized something that changed about Peter. Something had turned. Something had been twisted. And Jesus recognized it as the spirit of offense. And Jesus casted out that spirit. So to live at peace with all men, we need to do these four things. We need to make sure you are not the source of offense. You need to forgive the offender. You need to disallow negative news or evil reports about your neighbor. And you have to avoid the frequent offender. Amen. So that's the first outline. Our purpose as peacemakers is to live at peace with all men. Make sure that everyone around you is at peace with you, or you are at peace with them. Amen. The second part is this. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to the peacemakers. We are sons of God, so we are peacemakers. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, "For as many believed him, to them he gave the power to be sons of God." When God gave us the power to be his son, he gave us the power to be peacemakers. Okay? That's the scriptural correlation, or the scriptural mathematical correlation of Matthew chapter 5 verse 9 and John chapter 1 verse 12. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. But as many as received them, to them he gave the power to become sons of God." That power there was the power to make peace. As many as believed him, he gave the power to make peace, to be a peacemaker. And that made them the sons of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and is the same as the Spirit of peace." Amen. So we see that God has given us everything to fulfill our calling as peacemakers. God has given us the without, everything we need to become peacemakers. And what is the primary way of making peace? What is our primary target as peacemakers? It's simple: reconciling men back to God. Simple. Reconciling men back to God. Making people return to God. Settling the disputes that men may have against God. Now, you cannot settle disputes between God and man, but we're saying that settling the disputes men have against God and reconciling them back to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us that. You know, for verse 17, it says, "Whoever is in Christ is a new creature." It said, "Old things are passed away." It said, "Behold, all things have become new." Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." The ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of making peace, being a peacemaker, and settling the dispute between man and God. Whatever dispute they may have. Some people may be upset at God for letting their grandma pass away, or for letting them lose their jobs, or for letting them lose their homes, their houses, or for letting everything evil in the world happens. And so they have turned their back against God. Some don't even believe that God exists. God is saying, "I have given you the power as my son, as a peacemaker, to reconcile those people back to me, to let them understand that I am not behind their walls, to let them understand that I am on their side, to make them realize that I still love them." God has given us that power and has called us to be peacemakers. It's a very big assignment. It's a very big assignment. We are called to settle the disputes that men have against God and reconcile them back to God. How do you do that? Very simple. Three ways. Preach the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, Mark 16, 15. Preach the gospel. Make disciples of men, okay? So don't just preach the gospel and leave them on the field. No farmer harvests on the farm and leave the crops on the farm. He gathers them on the farm and brings them home. That is what discipleship is. When we reconcile them back to God, stay with them. Bring them back to Christ, nurture them, disciple them. Make disciples of men. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, from verse 19 to 20. Is somebody being blessed by God's word this evening? Is somebody being blessed? Amen. It says, verse 19. It said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Another translation says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of men." Make disciples of men. Preach the gospels, make disciples of men, and live a godly lifestyle. worthy of emulation. You see, the best form of preaching is our lifestyles. You know, people no longer read the Bible. People now read our lifestyles. People now read us Christians. Okay? So people are observing. People are taking notes. People are sensitive. Okay? So your lifestyle must be worthy of revelation so that you can say like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, follow me as I follow Christ. That's how to make disciples of men. That's how to settle the disputes, preach to them, make disciples of them, and live a godly lifestyle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Finally, our calling, as peacemakers, involves settling disputes among each other. I've talked about settling the disputes between man and God. Now I'm talking about settling issues between a fellow believer and another believer. Let me tell you something. No matter how loving we are with each other, no matter how spiritual we are, there will still be conflicts. Yes. Are you surprised? No matter how spiritual we are, no matter how cordial and loving we are, there will still be conflict. And there's totally nothing wrong with conflict. In fact, conflicts in some cases are designed to bring the best of ideas together in comparison. Conflicts should make us better. Conflicts should make us higher. Conflicts should take us to a new level together as one. There are many instances of conflict in scriptures. And the particular one I like was the one in Acts chapter 6. Let's read that together. Acts of Apostles. We did that as part of the study for last week, but let's read Acts chapter 6. Probably the first few verses, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says that in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Jews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You see that conflict, and did you see what it brought? There was murmurings. There was misunderstanding. The Grecians perceived, they noticed that their widows were not being considered. They would distribute items, they would give offerings, but the widows among them were not getting it. Take for example, now the U.S. Government has issued the House has passed a $2.2 trillion. Now they passed another $3 trillion stimulus check. Imagine that people that don't have bank accounts are now disqualified. Would that be fair? Just because they don't have a bank account. That's exactly that what was happening in Acts chapter 6. The widows were left out of the ministrations. And the Grecians were upset. And there was some murmurs going on. There was chaos. There was conflict. But do you know what the apostles did? They asked them to bring people filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom that can help with the proper administration. So what am I trying to say? Conflict will arise, but conflict should help us grow. Conflict should make us come together more. Conflict should create opportunities for advancement. Conflict should refine our systems. Conflict should redefine and reshape us to be better people. But not what we're saying now. A little conflict and the body of Christ is divided. That's not the purpose. So when these are happening, when we have people that are divided, God has called us as peacemakers to settle the dispute among each other. Amen. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Okay? We are to go to the wise ones The Bible encourages us that, you know, we shouldn't go to the judges, to the court system, and sue each other. The Bible says that we should go to the wise ones amongst us, who are filled with knowledge, and those are the elders of the church, to settle disputes, to settle issues. Remember in Mark chapter 18, from verse 15 to 17, where Jesus was given that same parable about anyone that offends, he said, take a witness with you, go to the elders of the church, and do this and do that. That's the process. That's the process. And mind you, okay, it has nothing to do with age. It has totally nothing to do with age. Solomon said, I, wisdom, dwelt with knowledge and found out the knowledge of witty inventions. It has to do with anyone with the spirit of wisdom. The Bible says that the Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom after Moses had laid hands on him. So it is not a function of age for wisdom to make judgment or to settle disputes. It is by the display of the spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded. So there is people with the spirit of wisdom amongst us who can help settle issues, who can help settle disputes. And we are those children. We are filled with the wisdom of God because we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God, and like begats like. So we are called to settle disputes amongst each other. Settle it internally. Let's not disgrace Christ. Let's not put the name of Christ to disrepute around the world. Let the unbelievers not mock our God by reason of our disappointments. Forget all the doctrinal issues. Forget all the conflict that arises from opinions. Forget the politics of this era. Let brotherly love continue. So let's settle that amongst ourselves. If your brother offends thee, call him. Let him know. Okay? If he doesn't do anything or apologize, and don't go with the heart to expect apology. Go with the heart of settling the issue, because the person may never apologize. Okay? Just let them know you have to make your heart clear, and then tell them how you feel or tell them what happened. Don't go with a heart of apology. Well, that's a different topic for another day. But we are called, in summary, with a purpose and a calling as peacemakers. We are called to live in peace with all men, and we are called to be peacemakers. 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 That is one of the number one qualities. That's one of the highest qualities of a child of God, is a peacemaker. God is a God of peace. God is a God of order. God is not the author of confusion. Praise God. Praise God. So because of our time, next week we'll talk about the concluding part of this. Let's keep them, because the concluding part is even bigger. We shall all give an account of our purpose and our calling as peacemakers. Next week, join me again next week as we explore this topic, Peacemakers, Part 2.
We thank you for listening to today's message. We know you have been blessed. So for more of these messages, please visit us on our website at www.thola.org and subscribe to our YouTube channel at THOLA TV. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at THOLA_church. And best of all, come hear the man of God live at the House of Light Assembly, 130 Montrose West Avenue, Akron, Ohio, 44321, or call 234-200-6172. God bless you and keep on shining. Changing life.